Bibles open there, and pray. There's how many people in the Word, and pray for us. But the one who is wise, heed these things, and ponder the loving deeds of you. Father, we pray that you give us wisdom this morning, as we hear of your loving deeds. Help us to ponder them, to understand them, and so live well in your way. Amen. Right, well, who here likes reality TV shows? Yeah, so there's two types of reality TV shows, aren't there? There's the ones that kind of are meant to be real, but show nothing like real life. And then there's the other ones that try and give a real insight into people's experience. And Psalm 107 is a long psalm, isn't it? But it gives us lots of stories, four different stories, four kind of reality shows of people's real experiences as they struggle. So what we're going to do to start with is we're going to kind of like flip through the channels, and we're going to see at these four reality shows. And so the first one up is Survivor. Survivor, because the first group of people we meet are there, a group lost in the desert in verses 4 to 9. And so, John, I think I need your help. So, do you want to come out? Will you be the actors in my reality TV show? Excellent. So, you are all going to get lost in the desert. And as you get lost, you've got no food and drink, and so you're going to get thirsty and hungry. Okay, Jenny, you can do that for me. Yeah, so you're going to act out. When you act out, you can get lost over there somewhere. So you're going to get lost. Where are you? Oh, boy. Can you find the way home? No, you're starting to feel hungry and thirsty. Maybe you're starting to struggle to get back. Almost at the point of death. Looking very sad there. That's it. Great. Well done. Come on back then. Philip is joining in as well. So that was the first group we see. They were lost in a desert, hungry and thirsty, on the point of dying. But then we flick over the channel and we go to see an episode of Behind Bars. Now we're in prison. So if you look at verse 10, some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains. So I'm sorry, you're all going to have to go to prison. If you're happy to. So what I need to do, and I haven't got any iron chains, but I've got some ropes. Who's going to go first? Evie, come here. Please put your hands together. There we go. Okay. There we go. Go on. Go in the prison. Next person. Put your hands together. Okay. There you go. In you go. Into the prison. Into the prison. There you go. Watch your head. Oh. You're going to fit in, are you?
I'm going
to fit in. Go on, in the prison you go then. Are you going in, Zach? There we go. In you go, into the prison. Are you in? Are you going to go in as well? You're going to squeeze in there? Very sensible. There we go, we're all in there, right? There we go. Shut the door. See, that's what happened to the second group. Do you see them? They're all there in prison. In darkness. I can't quite cover you up completely. But in darkness, chained up and locked up. That's the picture here. Not very nice, is it? Being trapped and helpless. But notice
that it's all their own fault. It's because, verse 11, they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So we don't know why the first ones were lost, but we do know that they're in prison because they've done something wrong. So they're sitting in their darkness and gloom. You all okay in there? Do you want to come out? Okay. There we go. Just be careful on the way out. That's it. Well done. Wasn't very nice, was it? Being locked up like that? No. You needed someone to rescue you. Right. Okay. Now, what was the third channel? Let's flip the channel again, and this time we go to 24 Hours in A&E. This is Ricky's favourite, this one. So, because the next group we meet are people who are sick. It says, some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered afflictions because of their iniquities. So they all got ill. So can you all pretend to get ill for me? And that's it, die, that's it, yeah. Oh no, you're going to need a doctor to help you, aren't you? Terrible. So there we go, that's the third one, and we got one last one. Back on your feet. Can you be the doctor? Oh, he's going to be the doctor. Right. And lastly, saving lives at sea. Because that's the third, the fourth story. The fourth ones we meet are in a boat. So can we all get in our boat? Whoa, watch out. Okay. Now. So. We're told that they're brave sailors. They're merchants who are. They're used to sailing in the sea, and they're all very happy until suddenly a storm blows up. And they start to get very scared, and the waves go over the top of them. And the storm blows up. And they fear for their lives because they think they're going to drown. There we go. So, out of the boat now, back to your seats. Quinn managed to get lost, get locked in prison, caught in a storm, and he falls over his chair. See, so what we get in this passage is four different pictures. Four different pictures of people who are helpless, in need of rescue. People who are lost, people who are imprisoned, people who were sick, and people caught in a storm. But all those pictures really just summed up one reality. They all express one reality of people and their sin. How we are lost, cut off from God. How because of our sin, we are facing punishment. How we are sick, and how we are in need of rescue. But I wonder which of those you identify most with this morning. Because they're all pictures, but they all express something of the reality. So is it to be turning from God's word? Or is it like the sailors, trusting in yourself, thinking you are the master of the seas? Ruler of the wind and waves? Or is it that you're feeling lost this morning? Or imprisoned, bound by sin? If you're here as a non-Christian looking in, I wonder if you see something of yourself and your situation. in those realities, in each of those pictures. You see, in each one of them, the people have their eyes open to understand their true reality. They think they're okay, and then suddenly they see the trouble they're in and acknowledge their need, and they cry out to God. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. If you've got a Bible, can you spot that phrase? It's there four times, we're told it. They cried to the Lord in their trouble. Well, do you see your trouble? Do you think there's a consequence to your sin? Do you think God is to be feared? Our theme for this morning was God's love. But that doesn't mean that he's not holy and just. Do you notice who causes these things to happen? Well, certainly some of them, it's because of God. God imprisons him. God brings the storm. Do you have the wisdom to see that the trouble you're in, the trouble you're in without God? If you are beginning to see that, then can I encourage you to do what those people do in this story, to cry out to God, to call on him to save you? You see, our situation for all of us is the same. It's not that Christians are better and their lives sorted. It's not that we don't sin. No, it's that the only difference between the Christian and the non-Christian is that we've had our eyes open to see the need, to see the desperate trouble we're in, and have called upon the Lord to save us. I remember climbing a tree in my back garden when I was a child, and I was quite happy going up, and then it suddenly struck me. I got to a point, and I thought, how am I going to get down? And I realised there was nothing I could do. All I could do was call to my dad and say, help me. I needed to recognise my inability to save myself. And that's what we all need to do as we cry out to the Lord, to recognise that our strength does not lie in ourselves, but in God, in the Lord, and to cry out to him. Well, that's what we're going to look at in a few moments, how God can rescue us. But before we do, we're going to sing again of our theme as we sing of God's love for us. So, Tony, you'll come out to the front again. Of those who were lost, those in prison, those who were sick, and those who were in the storm. And we saw in each of them our need to cry out to the Lord. But how does God respond when we do? When we cry to the Lord, what does God do? Well, God rescues us. God rescues us, and that's what we're going to see now. Because look at what happens each time. So there's four stories, so what I want to do is to split us into four. So sort of the first three rows on this side, you're 1-4, okay? Heather and going back there, over there, you're the next one. The two back rows there, and then the three front rows here. Okay. And so you need to tell me, so you're in the first story, you're the people getting lost, you're the people in prison, you're the people sick, and you're the people in the storm. So I want you to look at your passage, and I want you to see what happens each time when they cry out to the Lord in their need. What happens? When they cry out to the Lord in their need, what happens? Okay. What happens in the first story when they cry out to their need? Someone shout out? God delivered them from their distress. What about in the back? What happens when they're in prison? They cried out in their need. They saved them from their distress. What about when they were sick? They saved them from their distress. And what about in the storm when they were at their wit's end? They saved them from their distress.
So, do we get the point? When we cry out to God in our trouble, what does God do?
He saves us from our distress.
So the lost people, they find a city to settle in. The prisoners are set free. Those suffering and facing death are healed. And the storm is calm. And the sailors get to where they're going safely. And in every case, the psalmist is keen to point out that it's God who is the source. He led them by a straight way to the city. He brought them out of darkness and broke their chains. He sent out his word to heal them. And he stilled the storm to whisper the waves of the sea were hushed. He does it. God rescues. And he is the only one who can. That's the point, isn't it? These at their wit's end, there's nothing that they can do. They're at the point of death. But God rescues when they cry out in their need. And again, we see a reality. These are pictures, but they speak of a greater rescue. So I don't know if you recognize this. Did any of the stories of the situations here, did they ring any bells for anyone about anything else that they know in the Bible? Does anyone know anyone else who calmed a storm? Jesus calmed the storm, didn't he?
Yes.
So when he was with his disciples and the wind and the waves, and he said, quiet, be still. He calmed the storm. And actually, all these stories, kind of Jesus picks up on. So he speaks of a shepherd who goes looking for a lost sheep and brings it home. He speaks of coming to set the captives free. And he speaks and he heals the sick and raises the dead. See, Jesus is the one who has come to bring about God's rescue. That's why he came. And all these pictures, as God delivers from their distress, point to what Jesus has come to do. We looked at this verse as adults a couple of weeks ago. But it sums up what Jesus has come to do. For God, so we read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John chapter 3, verse 16. So do you see the trouble that we're in? We are facing God's judgment and death. We are going to perish. But God, in his love, wonderfully sent Jesus to rescue us so that he might die in our place, so that we might have life, so that he can rescue us. So that we can so he can bring us home, so we're no longer lost. So he can set us free. So he can heal us and restore us to the people that we were meant to be. And that he can bring us through all the storms of life to the safe harbour of heaven. God rescues when we cry out in our need. And that should lead us to give thanks to the Lord. It should lead us to give thanks to the Lord. Now, I said this to the adults when we started the series, but the Psalms are actually God's songbook. They're actually songs that God's people used to sing. And just like any song, this has a chorus that repeats again and again. And again, I wonder if you can spot it in your different stories. So the first one, the second one, the third one, the fourth one. See if you can spot what the chorus is. You can spot what the chorus is. Any ideas? Anyone want to say?
Anyone spotted it yet? Anyone know what the chorus is? Is that in there?
No, not found it yet. Yeah, go on, say it. Go on. That's right. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks for his unfailing love. So verse 8, well, he starts with verse 1, actually, doesn't he? He introduces it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And then verse 8, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. And verse 15, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. And verse 21, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. And verse 31, can you guess yet what it's going to say? Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. You see, God, the psalmist, wants to make a big point. And so he says it again and again and again. We should give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For all that he does in rescuing us. See, he gives us four pictures of that to point to his ultimate rescue. But actually, that's true for the whole of our lives. We trust in Jesus, we can trust him to show us his unfailing love. And that should cause us to give thanks. And so, we are to tell the story of what he has done for us. Do you see that in verse 2? Let the redeemed of the Lord, that is those who've been saved by the Lord, tell their story. See, if you have a story of redemption, a story of salvation, if today you can speak of God's rescue for you, of how he's delivered you from your sin and judgment to life and faith, well then you should want to give thanks to the Lord for the love that he's shown you in Jesus and for giving you a hope and a future. That should be overflowing out of us. And we need to keep on telling the story to ourselves, because it is so easy to forget, isn't it? We can get so consumed with life that we forget what God has done for us. And so forget God's love. As we face all the realities and difficulties of life, as we feel lost and alone, when we are sick or in the midst of the storm, it's easy to forget God's unfailing love and his wonderful deeds, and instead focus on our situation and to grumble rather than calling out to God. To doubt his goodness. To turn away from God back to our sin. To, like fools, reject God's word. But the psalmist tells us to remember God's unfailing love and his wonderful deeds, and instead to give thanks to the Lord. Any of you remember, those who are Christians here, do you remember that when you first became a Christian, when you first cried out to God for rescue, how amazing that was, how wonderful, how you couldn't stop praising God for his wonderful deeds? Well, that is, we're told, is to be our attitude every day. I wonder if that's the reason he forgets, because we forget our need, and we forget God's rescue. If that's you, then why not commit to pausing each day, first thing, to think about
God's unfailing love and his wonderful deeds in rescuing you. I can promise that your day won't be the same if you do. In the way that you think about things. But instead, you'll be filled with thanksgiving for the Lord and dependence on him. But finally, we're also to tell the story to others. See, what do you think that when the people lost in the desert, what do you think they did when they got home? They would have told everyone about how they got rescued. When the prisoner gets set free, it's big news. When you're healed from death's door, it'll be announced everywhere. And that's to be true for us. We're to tell others. Thanks to God should be overflowing so that everyone hears it. You see, we have the greatest story to tell, and so we should tell it from the rooftops, because everyone needs to hear it. See, they too are lost in need of rescue. They might not realize it yet, but they need to cry out to the Lord, and so we want to live our lives and fill our conversations in such a way to declare that love of the Lord and his wonderful deeds to all. So that as we've received his rescue, others can do too. You see, and that is how we are to live wisely. Flick over to the end of the psalm, that's how it ends. We've been thinking these last couple of weeks in the psalms, what it means to live wisely, that is to live God's way in God's world. Not about how clever you are, to be wise is to be living in the light of God's truth. And here, how do we do that? Well, we've seen that to live is to live in the light of the reality of death. It's to live in the light of the reality of judgment. It's also to live in the light of God's character and his rescue. Let's look at verse 43. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. So if you want to live rightly in God's world, you need to recognize your need and turn to him. It may be that today you can do that for the first time. This is the point when you've recognized your need, when you've recognized that you are lost, imprisoned, death's door, and at a point in a storm. If that is you, then turn to the Lord today, trusting. But also for whoever we are, whatever we face this week, how are we going to live wisely in it? Well, not looking down at our situation, but looking to God. Looking to him as the God who has showed us unfailing love in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to trust in him and give thanks and praise to him. Be right now to pray, wouldn't it? To ask God for his help for us to do that and to thank him. So let's do that now as we pray together. Let's pray. Father, we do give you thanks and praise for your enduring love that you have shown us in the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his work in dying for us. Thank you for the promise that when we cry out to you, that you meet us and rescue us in the Lord Jesus. And we pray, Father, for any here today who've not yet taken that step. Father, we pray that you might have mercy upon them, that you'd open their eyes to see their need, to see their helplessness and their inability to save themselves, and to call upon you, knowing that you are trustworthy. But pray for all of us, Father, whoever we are. Pray that this week you would help us to live wisely, to live in the light of who you are and what you've done in the Lord Jesus. As we face all the troubles and fears this week, help us not to be consumed by them, but to look to you as the God who's loved us enough to die for us. and so to trust you to get us through them, whatever they may be. In Jesus' name. Amen.